Well, we're glad you're here this morning. Glad for those who are at home listening. Again, hug to you guys. I know some of you have mentioned how much you appreciated that, and I don't want to stop doing that. I'm a hugger. My family comes from a bunch of huggers, and just something about it. And I'm grateful. Grateful that's how God's made me. Let me share this with you. Before Don Bickford passed away, maybe a couple months before he passed away, so this is years ago, I'm in Wednesday night, we're downstairs, and Don wasn't very tall, and I'm kind of big, and I'm standing there talking to two brothers, and I did not know Don very well. Maybe shook his hands two or three times. I'm standing there, and he come right behind me, and he put his arms around me, and he tried to grasp his hands together, you know. And I thought, who is doing this? And that ministered to me so much. And I turned around, and I looked at him, and Don, he's got this big, beautiful smile on his face. He said, "You're just too big of a guy. I can't get my arms completely around you." And I gave him a hug, and he hugged me back. But there's opportunities we can minister to others. Sometimes it's in a handshake. Sometimes it's in a smile. Sometimes it's in a word spoken. Sometimes it's in a hug. And we really can't ever underestimate what God can do in us and through us as we are just living examples of the Lord Jesus. So since having had COVID, my mouth dries out faster. As I'm singing this morning and worshiping the Lord, my mouth was getting dry, and I thought maybe I shouldn't sing. And my spirit inside me said, "No, sing. You've got to sing for what God has done." So hopefully my mouth will get lubricated with the water. How many have served in the military here? I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would. We want to honor you, certainly, this morning. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and God bless you. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. And so tomorrow is Memorial Day. This message is been stirred in my soul, and it ties in with last week. And you have to put up with me last week and this week. There are times where somebody can't fill the pulpit, and sometimes us as men, God gives us some things to share, and so I've got 2 weeks in a row. But these two messages tying together that God has been stirring in my heart 4, 5, 6 weeks. It's all in reference to memorials. The importance of memorials in our lives. And with tomorrow being Memorial Day, I believe it's fitting for us to consider some things from the scriptures. And as Dick is up here sharing, I'm thinking he already copied my notes. Because it is about remembering. It's not just because we get a 3-day weekend and we get to have a cookout. We need to remember those who have been in the military and those who gave their lives for us. And that's what Memorial Day was set out to be. Actually, let me read this to you. It's the history of Memorial Day. 3 years after the Civil War ended on May 5th, 1868, the head of the Organization of Union Veterans, the Grand Army of the Republic, established Decoration Day, and that's what it started out to be, as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of the war dead with flowers. Major General John A. Logan declared the Decoration Day should be observed on May 30th. It is believed that date was chosen because flowers would be in bloom all over the country. Somebody's thinking ahead. I wouldn't think that way. Officials, the official birthplace declared in 1966, so almost 100 years later, Congress and President Lyndon B. Johnson declared Waterloo, New York. Up until this point, there was a lot of people in the country, all over the South and even the North, who said, we are the ones that started it, wanted to take credit for it. So Lyndon B. Johnson and our Congress honored local veterans who had fought in the Civil War. Oh, I'm sorry, let me back up. Lyndon B. Johnson declared Waterloo, New York, the birthplace of Memorial Day. There, a ceremony on May 5th, 1866, honored local veterans who had fought in the Civil War. By the end of the 19th century, Memorial Day ceremonies were being held on May 30th throughout the nation. State legislatures passed proclamations designating the day, and the Army and Navy adopted regulations for proper observance at their facilities. It was not until after World War I, however, that the day was expanded to honor those who have died in all American wars. In 1971, Memorial Day was declared a national holiday by an act of Congress. Though it is still often declared Decoration Day, it is then also placed on the last Monday in May, as were some other federal holidays. I didn't know that. I knew that growing up, that Memorial Day was to recognize veterans, but also recognize those who had given their lives for us and our freedom in this country. These men who are standing here are here by the grace of God, that their lives were not taken in a foreign war. My father fought in Korea. He told me that many times his life he thought was going to be taken as he fought over in Korea. The stories that he had shared with us was just amazing that God had spared his life. And so tomorrow, I would encourage you as you wake up in the morning, certainly pray and give thanks for those who have given their lives for us, but also give thanks for those who have served in the military for our country. Thank you for all who have served. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for those who are here in our service who have served, and even those who are at home who have served in the military for our sakes. Lord, I'm grateful for those who have given their all, their whole life, and their lives were taken for the freedom that we're able to experience here in the United States of America. God, we want to honor them, acknowledge them, and we're grateful, and we just pray your blessings upon them. And yet this morning, Lord, we just look to you for help. I pray that you'd help me to communicate your heart. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for all that your word has to communicate to us about memorials. I pray that, God, you'd stir our hearts. I pray that you would move us in a way to consider the things that you've accomplished, that you've done in our lives. I pray that even as going forward that we would consider the memorials, how important they can be to our own lives right now where we're at. Father, give us ears to hear. Help us to hear what you'd have to say to us corporately as well as individually. Father, I pray that you'd bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. May they be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, help me this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. I was amazed as I have gone through the scriptures in the last couple weeks how many times the scriptures talks about memorials or remember or don't forget or remember to think on. I don't know this for certain, but it seems like every book I turned to, there was something. The Apostle Peter says in his epistles, he said, I want to stir up in your mind to remind you, to remember. Our bodies are not capable, our minds are not capable of remembering everything we've ever experienced. I forgot more than I can remember. If I get into a crowd of people, I have forgotten more names than those that I can remember, though I recognize their faces. Each of us are like that, and we need to be reminded. In many areas of our lives, memorial. This definition from Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says that which preserves the memory of something. Anything that serves to keep in memory. A monument is a memorial of a deceased person or an event. So, as I get older, it seems like I'm forgetting more. There's times when I'm at work and I'll be on agenda, and it happened this past week. I had to go do something. Well, as I'm going from here to 100 feet, I am asked a handful of questions. Help me. What do you want me to do here? What do you want? And I stop and I give directions. And sometimes I have prints in my hand, blueprints, and I'll set them down to help one of the individuals who need help. And then I'll get done and I'll get ready to move in that direction and I'll think, I forgot what I was going after. And I'll walk away, I'll walk all the way back to my computer and I'll sit there or I'll stand there and think, oh yeah, that's what it is. Keeping in mind that my prints are still at the first station that I left them at. It happens all the time. So usually a time I've got to go around to the guys and say, listen, I've set some blueprints down. I don't know where they're at. So if you see them, I need them. That's happening more as I get older. In the area of memorials or remembering, it's critical for us. It really is. When we look into the scriptures, we see many instances where God instructs ones to set up a pillar for a memorial to remember the moment. It's usually a time where God revealed himself or he performed a miracle. You can turn there if you'd like, but I'm not going to read it. Genesis chapter 28. When Jacob was fleeing from Esau after he had stolen the birthright, he comes to a place called Luz. And as he comes to that place, he lays his head down and he begins to sleep, and God ministers to him and speaks to him. Commits to him promises that he's going to of what's going to take place in his life in the days ahead. So as he speaks to him, he wakes up the next morning, and he literally takes the rock that his head laid on, and he puts it on a pillar for a memorial. And he calls the place Bethel. Now, a memorial is something that hopefully reminds us of what God did. When we jump over to chapter 35 of Genesis, you can turn your Bibles there. Again, it's Jacob again, and God says to him this time, go to Bethel. I told the men this last Wednesday, I want to stay at Bethel, because it's at Bethel that God spoke to Jacob. There are Bethels in my life that I want to go there and stay there because God speaks to me. But what's interesting, in those moments God speaks to me and those things that he tells me what to do, I've got to then go and do. I can't stay there. I cannot accomplish what God's going to ask me to do in those moments. I must leave. But the promise that God has said, and one of the brothers this morning as we're talking just before the service, he said one of the greatest promises of the scripture is that God says, I will be with you. David said in the Psalms, where can I go from your presence, for you are with me? Moses said, when God gave him instruction to go, Moses said, God, I don't want to go if you're not going to go with me. That needs to be our heart attitude in anything in our lives. I don't want to go to work, Lord, unless you go with me. Unless you provide the way, prepare the way, please go with me. The promise that God gives to us is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we as believers have that promise dwelling within us with the Holy Spirit, who speaks and leads and guides us all manner of truth. Genesis 35. First verse, God said to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household, put away all the foreign gods, get rid of everything. Basically, get rid of anything that needs to be taken care of out of your lives. Verse 3, then let us arise and go up to Bethel so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and all the rings in their ears. Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree that was near Shechem. And as they journeyed, a terror, this is awesome to see this verse. This verse jumped out at me as I was reading these last couple weeks. As they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were round about them so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him, and there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, God of the house of God. Bethel means the house of God. Because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. Verse 9. God appeared to Jacob again. Then he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you. Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured it oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him, Bethel. He not only sets up one memorial, but another time, and of course in us it's seven chapters, but it's years, and he sets up another memorial to remind him what God has done. And God speaks to him and changes his name. There are times God wants memorials established in our lives that would be for corporate time, a national time. But there's times that God is speaking to us individually, and it's important that we consider what he is saying to us, and there are times we need to set up memorials. Not a place that we come and bow down to. That's not God's heartbeat. But it's a reminder of what God has done. Let's turn over to Joshua chapter 4. Let's go over to Joshua chapter 3, first and verse 9. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out all before you, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the 12 tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man, and when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests, bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away. At Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, those flowing down towards the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite of Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on the ground. And in the midst of the Jordan, all the Israel was passing over on dry ground. Not mushy sand, not wet sand, dry ground. Until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. When all the nation, chapter 4, we're going to read the whole chapter. I won't make you stand for it. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, each from the tribe, command them, saying, take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. Joshua said to them, pass on before the Ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder. It's a heavy stone. We're not talking about a rock. If you got to carry it on your shoulder, it's heavy. It's big. According to the number of the tribes of people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. There's some principles here that is real critical in our lives that we have lost sight of, even in the church, where we've even lost sight of, even in our own personal families. One is and I've considered this because when we start talking about memorials, during this time, I really think God has given to us a memorial from his word, that his word is a memorial to us. And that it not only communicates to us the heart of God, but there are things that God has set up in his word that he wants us to look unto him and be saved. Look unto him and find knowledge. Look unto him and find wisdom. Look unto him and find direction for our lives. Find hope for our lives. Some of us right now are at a place, some of the graduates could be right there, are at a place that we're saying, okay, I don't know what next step I need to take. I don't know if I go get a job, go to school. I don't know what I should do. What an opportunity for you to seek the Lord, to press into Jesus and hear his heart, what he has for your life. And in doing that, that can be a moment that you can begin to establish a memorial for your life, knowing that God has spoken to you very clearly for direction. Often we don't have memorials in our lives because we haven't taken the time with God to hear what God would have to say to us. Or some of it, we haven't recognized that there should have been a memorial, and yet we haven't prepared our hearts or written it down or established something to communicate that this memorial is where I met the Lord and he showed me some things that I need to do. Whether it be sin, whether it be direction, whether it be discernment, or whether it be his blessing or confirmation or something. But we also as parents, and if you've got children, it's important that we communicate those things to our kids. They need to see, as parents, they need to see a God who is alive and real in your life, and he's showing you things. He's demonstrating his power. He's forgiving you of your sin. He's saving you. He's making you love people that's unlovely. Our kids are not seeing God as a real individual who's alive, who cares about us. Because we're not showing them and we're not telling them. Easter morning, we say he is risen, and you say he is risen indeed. And yet often we're guilty of not living like Jesus is alive. One of these things, part of the message from last week to this week, is as I was looking back 40 some years when I committed my heart and my life to my wife through those vows, that moment that I stood on that stage is a memorial for me that I committed my life before God to that woman. That's forever etched in my heart because it's a commitment that I made out to God. And he won't let me forget it. Neither will my wife. And I'm glad she won't let me forget that. I'm grateful my wife has never had to remind me of our anniversary. God has reminded me that. And we as men have a tendency to forget. We do. I'll be honest with you. I at times forget her birthday. It's because it gets busy around those days. It's not an excuse. It's real. There are times I have to ask my wife to forgive me because of forgetting her birthday. When we look at the scriptures that God has set up for our lives, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, it's a standard for our lives. But everything in here is a memorial for us to take and embrace and read and devour and to know the God who demonstrated himself to be real to Jacob there at Bethel is the same God who is real and wants to speak to us today. He's going to use his word to speak to us. I'm not talking about somebody with an audible voice. I've never heard that. But I know the Holy Spirit who has led me in the scriptures and brought to life the verses of scriptures to me that was for me at that very moment. I've been sitting where you sat when a man who would be speaking and would speak about sin or would speak about something in the scriptures, and all of a sudden it's like I'm the only one in the room and the scriptures come alive. Or I've been spoken to by the Holy Spirit, convicted me of my sin, knowing that I've grieved the Lord, ready to repent and turn and confess. God is so real. It's so important to consider all the various memorials. In our life as a family, we have over time wrote down things when my children were little, all the things that God had done for us. One practical thing, and I'll share this one with you. The year was 1997. We're getting ready to, we've been praying about moving down to Toledo, to Ohio, leaving the promised land, Michigan. And we're crying out to the Lord. And I sat down with our children. My wife and I sat down with the children. Okay, so what? Let's just lay some things out before the Lord. As we laid things out before the Lord, we made a list. And I just wrote down a list and of where we would like to live. And my daughter said, a place that will receive cats. My wife said, a place where we can have a porch swing. A place with two bathrooms. We only had one up to that point. And actually, there was all kinds. I wanted a place where I could have a garden. And went down the whole list. There was some things. I didn't number them. But when I got done, I numbered them. There was 12 things. So we began to look for a house down here that would have 12 things. We weren't going to come down and buy a house. We needed a house that we could rent. 12 things. We come down. We found a house. It's actually a house right across the street from Secor Metro Park. It's a white old farmhouse. No one had lived in it for 8 months. It was a widow who owned it. We approached her. And as we approached her, her husband had passed away just short after their 40-year anniversary. A wonderful lady, just a wonderful lady, God-fearing lady. And so we walked in the house, and the house had one bathroom. On the lease, it said no animals. And now keep in mind, our cat was declawed, so that helps. And all kinds of other things. There was a place for a garden, but she said there'd never be another garden there. So I approached her. I said, would you consider allowing me to put a bathroom in this one location? And there was another location that a bathroom was perfect for, but I was prepared to put it down in the basement. Because it the house only had a tub, didn't have a shower, and I'm not a tub guy. And so I made that appeal to her, and this was just at the early of November. So I had called her. She wasn't home. I called her again. I called and left a message, called her again. Oh, and she also said she wasn't going to rent to anybody who had kids. I thought, okay. So anyways, I called her right after Thanksgiving again, and she said, I want you in my house. I'm thinking, I said, okay, what about the cat? And she said, no problem. I said, well, what about the bathroom? Would you allow me to do that? She said, I've already got it started. It'll be done before you rent the house. And so I paid the rent for January. I paid the rent for February, March. I go over to give her the rent, and I sat down. We would always talk. I'd always try to make time for her. I wanted her to know how much we... And I sat down, and I said, you have no idea how grateful we are to be in your home. And she said, you have no idea what God did. And I said, okay, there's a catch here, you know. She said, you came. I said, I had purpose in my heart never to rent with anyone kids. But when I saw your kids and the joy they had on their countenance, I wanted your kids in my house. And she said, the cat's is a non-issue. And she actually put in brand new carpets to the whole house for us too. She said, other people who rented my house, I would talk about another bathroom, and I'd tell them, no, no, no. She said, and God laid it on my heart, I needed to put a new bathroom in there for you. And she said, as far as the garden, I had told people they'd never garden because they made a mess of my yard. And she said, I just feel like I feel like God wants you in my home, and I want you in my home. And so God supernaturally led us in ways as we just yielded those things to the Lord. And now all my kids still remember and talk about how God moved in a way to get us into a home that a woman was prepared not for allowing us to be in her home. We never know what God's going to do as we look to him, as we seek his face, as we press into him. God already knows what he's going to do. No heart is too hard to turn or to move. He wants to show himself strong. And as we do these things, the Dudley family have memorials that are set up in our own lives that remind us of the goodness of God, of the care of God, the love of God, the power of God. That's the importance of memorials in our lives. Please don't sit there and say, John, that's for you. That's what God did for you. God's not going to. He will do it for you. He has done it for you. And some of them, you haven't recognized them as memorials. Things that we need to be able to look back to knowing that God has worked and moved on our behalf. Now let me give you this memorial. Turn on over to Luke chapter 22. Jesus' ministry is coming to an end on this earth. And you know the scene. He has already asked some disciples to go and prepare the upper room so that they could have what's called the Last Supper, a time of fellowship, an intimate time, a close time, a precious time, as we can see from this point. Verse 7 says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed." And just for a footnote, the Passover was a memorial to Israel. "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said, "Behold, you have entered a city. A man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there.' And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover." I'm going to stop right there for a second. Just as Jesus spoke very clearly with details to his disciples here, the Lord wants to speak to us just as clearly with details. Don't limit God. Don't underestimate his ability to do something for us because of his great love for us. God wants us to walk by faith. And you say, "Well, you're asking me to see these things." Absolutely. But it's things that we commit to the Lord first, and he acts on our behalf. And he's asking us to look back and remember and remind ourselves of the things God has done. "When the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them," this is verse 14, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remind ourselves. Every time we take of the cup and take of the bread, we are to remind ourselves of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's a memorial for us. That's why we as elders believe it's important to have communion, fellowship with the Lord, the times that we do. It's offered, and I'll put this in, it's offered every Sunday before the service in the room back there. And Scott said there's slowly more and more people. And if it has to get so big that we're in here, we can do that. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you, is now the new covenant in my body." Paul also communicates, so it's not just the disciples with Jesus, but Paul also communicates in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 the importance as we gather together as a body that we're to enter into the Lord's Supper. We're to enter into the cup and the communion and do that in remembrance of Jesus. Our mind has got to constantly be stirred to remind ourselves. And listen, when we consider the death, burial, and resurrection, he not only did that for us, but it was all the power of God demonstrated to us as he saved us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Memorials are critical for our lives. This morning, the Lord, as I was reading, the Lord took me to Psalm chapter 78. Turn there if you would, please. Deuteronomy talks about how important it is for the fathers and the mothers to teach their children. How important it is to pass on the things that God has done. We're missing generations, brothers and sisters. I heard a statistic this past week that 22% of young people don't even believe God exists. What's taking place in our schools right now of gender identification comes at the very essence of the root of believing in God, because it's questioning his creation. Correct question in his existence. There's a Christian teacher, phys ed, at a school that was just let go because he would not address the boys or the girls outside of how God had created them. We're living in some times that people need to see a demonstration of God's power. And it starts within us. Psalm 78, verse 1. "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, and the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. They should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God." I spoke with a brother yesterday. He has 22 grandkids. And his wife is holding the great-grandbaby. And I said to the husband, I said, I'm sure every chance she gets, she tries to get her hands on the grandbabies. And he smiled. He said, "Yeah." He said, "But you know, we're probably not going to see them grow up." He's 72, his wife's 72, and the baby's 4 months old. He said, "But I pray for him all the time." He said, we have 2 great-grandbabies, about to have 4. And the things that he said to me was sobering, because he said, I tried to, and it was at a graduation, and it's a family who you would all love, and not only is this brother invested in his kids, and his kids are invested in their kids, and they're seeing God be real and alive. And he said, I'm praying for my kids and my grandkids so that they can continue to follow in the steps that God has led us in, to know who God is in his faithfulness and all the things God has done for us. That stirred me in my own heart. Am I doing enough for my kids or my grandkids to communicate who God is? Am I doing everything God is asking of me? And there's been a couple things God's laid on my heart that I'm asking God I need help with. So, in closing, things to consider. Why are memorials important? Memorials are important because as we look at them, as we look back on these memorials that have been set up, as we look back on them, they stir us to be grateful. They stir us to be thankful that God hasn't forsaken us. You see, let me stop right here. What I said about we're at a place where we need a decision, or we're at a place where we really are troubled that something might be in our lives, or we don't know how to go forward, it is a good time for us to look back at those memorials and see the faithfulness of God. It's in those moments, all right, let's say you're even tired and weary of being given all the time, or you're wore out, or you feel like you are stressed beyond measure. It's as we look back at those memorials and we begin to see these things, and our hearts are stirred to gratefulness because God has worked on our behalf, that we can be thankful that God hasn't left us. And as we're faced with what we're faced with right now, God is right there. He hasn't left us. It reminds us of God's goodness to us. It reminds us, as we look at these memorials, God's care for us. It reminds us that God hasn't forsaken us. It provides an opportunity for us to be humble before the Lord, knowing that God did something that we could not do in our own strength. We are able to see during that God has kept the promises of his word, that everything he had instructed to us at that moment, and we obeyed, God has been faithful to his word. And then what it does, it helps us to look forward. You see, remembering is a hard attitude. To remember things is a hard attitude. What God has done in our hearts ought to stir us, even when we consider the day that we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. He changed our hearts then. Our heart is in his hand. He fashions it the way he wants it to go. And as he molds us and he shapes us, he changes our hearts. Only he can do that. We can't do it. We can't do it as perfectly as he can. And we need to be intentional to set these memorials going forward. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. You might be here this morning and you've never established a memorial. Let me encourage you to sit down before the Lord and establish the memorial of when you came to Christ. And then begin to establish other memorials. Let this be a starting point now going forward of the things God has done. Press into the Lord. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Turn unto Him and know Him. And you'll see God working in ways and setting things up and glorifying Himself in you and showing Himself strong. And you'll see how real God is. So in closing, tomorrow, as we remember those who gave their lives for our freedom in the nation that we live, please do not neglect to remember the one who gave Himself for our salvation. Because right there is where life comes from. Again, when we remember Jesus through taking up of the Lord's Supper, He's alive in us and at work in us. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word and we're grateful for your kindness to us. Lord, we're grateful that you've allowed us to be able to have your word in our hands so we can read and see the wonderful things that you've accomplished in the lives of those who trusted in you. And Lord, we're grateful that, Lord, you're the same God. You haven't changed. Your word is so true. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God, we just we trust you fully with our whole hearts, asking you to not only change us, but direct us. And Lord, even as I've shared this morning, I got to believe that there's some in here who already you've brought to their minds things that you've demonstrated in their hearts and their memorials. Reminding them that you're good and great and powerful. So God, we just pray for direction and wisdom. Please lead us in your care. We love you, O God, and we give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.